Book 1, Canto 4. On a height he stood that looked towards greater heights. Our early approaches to the infinite are sunrise splendors on a marvelous verge, while lingers yet unseen the glorious sun. What now we see is a shadow of what must come. The earth's uplook to a remote unknown is a preface only of the epic climb of human soul from its flat earthly state to the discovery of a greater self and the far gleam of an eternal light. A shapeless memory lingers in us still, and sometimes when our sight is turned within, Earth's ignorant veil is lifted from our eyes. There is a short, miraculous escape. This narrow fringe of clamped experience we leave behind, meted to us as life. Our little walks are insufficient reach. Our souls can visit in great lonely hours still regions of imperishable light, all-seeing eagle peaks of silent power and moon-flame oceans of swift, fathomless bliss and calm immensities of spirit space. In moments when the inner lamps are lit and the life's cherished guests are left outside, our spirit sits alone and speaks to its gulfs. It is the origin and the master clue, a silence overhead, an inner voice, a living image seated in the heart, an unwalled wideness and a fathomless point, the truth of all these cryptic shows in space, the real towards which our strivings move, the secret, grandiose meaning of our lives, a treasure of honey in the combs of God, a splendor burning in a tenebrous cloak. It is our glory of the flame of God, our golden fountain of the world's delight, an immortality cowled in the cape of death, the shape of our unborn divinity. Along a path of aeons serpentine, in the coiled blackness of her nascent course, the earth goddess toils across the sands of time. A being is in her whom she hopes to know. A word speaks to a heart she cannot hear. A fate compels whose form she cannot see. In her unconscious orbit through the void, out of her mindless depths she strives to rise, a perilous life her gain, a struggling joy, a thought that can conceive but hardly knows, arises slowly in her and creates the idea, the speech that labels more than it lights. A trembling gladness that is less than bliss invades from all this beauty that must die. Alarmed by the sorrow dragging at her feet, and conscious of the high things not yet won, ever she nurses in her sleepless breast an inward urge that takes from her rest and peace. Ignorant and weary and invincible, she seeks through the soul's war and quivering pain the pure perfection her marred nature needs. a breath of Godhead on her stone and mire. A faith she craves that can survive defeat. The sureness of a love that knows not death. The radiance of a truth forever sure. A light grows in her. She assumes a voice. Her state she learns to read, and the act she has done. But the one needed truth eludes her grasp. Herself and all of which she is the sign. An inarticulate whisper drives her steps, of which she feels the force, but not the sense. A few rare intimations come as guides. Immense divining flashes cleave her brain. And sometimes in her hours of dream and muse, the truth that she has missed looks out on her, as if far off and yet within her soul. A change comes near that flees from her surmise, and, ever postponed, compels attempt and hope, yet seems too great for mortal hope to dare. A vision meets her of supernal powers that draw her as if mighty kinsmen lost, approaching with estranged great luminous gaze. Then is she moved to awe that she is not, and stretches arms to what was never hers. Outstretching arms to the unconscious boy, passionate she prays to invisible forms of gods, soliciting from dumb faith and toiling time what most she needs, what most exceeds her scope. A mind unvisited by illusions gleams, a will expressive of soul's deity, a strength not forced to stumble by its speed, a joy that drags not sorrow as its shade. Only the immortals on their deathless heights, dwelling beyond the walls of time and space, masters of living, free from the bonds of thought, who are overseers of fate and chance and will, and experts of the theorem of world need, can see the idea, the might that changed time's course, come maimed with light from undiscovered worlds, here, while the world toils on with its deep, blind heart, the galloping hooves of the unforeseen event, bearing the superhuman rider near, and, impassive to earth's din and startled cry, return to the silence of the hills of God. As lightning leaps, as thunder sweeps, they pass and leave their mark on the trampled breast of life. Above the world creator stand. In the phenomenon, see its mystic source. These heed not the deceiving outward play. They turn not to the moment's dizzy tramp, but listen with the still patience of the unborn for the slow footsteps of far destiny. Approaching through huge distances of time, unmarked by the eye that sees effect and cause, unheard mid the clamor of the human plane, attentive to an unseen truth, they seize a sound as of invisible augur wings, voices of an unplumbed significance, mutterings that brood in the core of matter's sleep. In the heart's profound audition, they can catch the murmurs lost by life's uncaring ear, a prophet's speech in thought's omniscient trance. Above the illusion of the hopes that pass, behind the appearance and the overt act, behind this clockwork chance and vague surmise, amid the wrestle of force, the trampling feet, across the triumph, fighting and despair, they watch the bliss for which the earth's heart has cried, on the long road which cannot see its end, winding undetected through the skeptic days, and to meet it guide the unheedful moving world. Thus will the masked transcendent mount his throne, when darkness deepens, strangling the earth's breast, and men's corporeal mind is the only lamp, as a thief's in the night shall be the covert tread of one who steps unseen into his house. A voice ill heard shall speak, the soul obey, a power into the mind's inner chamber steal, a charm and sweetness open life's closed doors, and beauty conquer the resisting world. The truth light capture nature by surprise, a stealth of God compel the heart to bliss, and earth grow unexpectedly divine. In matter shall be lit the spirit's glow, in body and body kindle the sacred birth. Night shall awake to the anthem of the stars. The days become a happy pilgrim march. Our will a force of the eternal's power, and thought the rays of a spiritual sun. A few shall see what none yet understands. God shall grow up while the wise men talk and sleep. For man shall not know the coming till its hour, and belief shall be not till the work is done. In the wide, signless ether of the self, in the unchanging silence, white and nude, aloof, resplendent, like gold dazzling suns, veiled by the ray no mortal eye can bear, the spirit's free and absolute potencies burn in the solitude of the thoughts of God. Yet a spiritual secret aid is there, while a tardy evolution's coils wind on, and nature hews her way through adamant. A divine intervention thrones above. Alive in a dead rotating universe, we whirl not here upon a casual globe, abandoned to a task beyond our force. Even through the tangled anarchy called fate, and through the bitterness of death and fall, an outstretched hand is felt upon our lives. It is near us in the unnumbered bodies and births. In its unspoken grasp, it keeps for us safe the one inevitable, supreme result. No will can take away, and no doom change, the crown of conscious immortality. The God had promised to our struggling souls when first man's heart dared death and suffered life. One who has shaped this world is ever its Lord. Our errors are his steps upon the way. He works through the fierce vicissitudes of our lives. He works through the hard breath of battle and toil. He works through our sins and sorrows and our tears. His knowledge overrules our nescience. whatever the appearance we must bear, whatever our strong ills and present fate, when nothing we can see but drift and veil, a mighty guidance leads us still through all. Here, meanwhile, at the spirit's opposite pole, in the mystery of the deeps that God has built for his abode below the thinker's sight, in this compromise of a stark, absolute truth, with the light that dwells near the dark end of things, in this tragic comedy of divine disguise, this long far seeking for joy ever near, in the grandiose dream of which the world is made, in this gold dome on a black dragon base, the conscious force that acts in nature's breast, a dark-robed laborer in the cosmic scheme, carrying clay image of unborn gods, executrix of the inevitable idea, hampered, enveloped by the hoops of fate, patient trustee of slow eternal time, absolves from hour to hour her secret change, all she foresees in masked imperative depths, the dumb intention of the unconscious gulfs, answers to a will that sees upon the heights, and the evolving word's first syllable, ponderous, group-sensed, contains its luminous close, privy to a summit victory's vast descent, and the portent of the soul's immense uprise. There are two who are one and play in many worlds. In knowledge and ignorance they have spoken and met, and light and darkness are their eyes interchanged. Our pleasure and pain are their wrestle and embrace. Our deeds, our hopes are intimate to their tale. They are married secretly in our thought and life. The universe is an endless masquerade, for nothing here is utterly what it seems. It is a dream fact vision of a truth, which but for the dream would not be wholly true. A phenomenon stands out significant against dim backgrounds of eternity. We accept its face and pass by all it means. A part is seen, we take it for the whole. Thus have they made their play with us for roles. Author and actor with himself as seen, he moves there as the soul, as nature, she. Here on the earth where we must fill our parts, we know not how shall run the drama's course. Our uttered sentences veil in their thought. Her mighty plan she holds back from our sight. She has concealed her glory and her bliss, and disguised the love and wisdom in her heart. Of all the marvel and beauty that are hers, only a darkened little we can feel. He too wears a diminished Godhead here. He has forsaken his omnipotence. His calm he has foregone and infinity. He knows her only. He has forgotten himself. To her he abandons all to make her great. He hopes in her to find himself anew, incarnate, wedding his infinity's peace to her creative passion's ecstasy. Although possessor of the earth and heavens, he leaves to her the cosmic management and watches all, the witness of her scene. A supernumerary on her stage, he speaks no words or hides behind the wings. He takes birth in her world, waits on her will, divines her enigmatic gesture sense, the fluctuating chance turns of her mood, works out her meanings she seems not to know, and serves her secret purpose in long time. As one too great for him, he worships her. He adores her as his regent of desire. He yields to her as the mover of his will. He burns the incense of his nights and days, offering his life a splendor of sacrifice. A rapt solicitor for her love and grace, his bliss in her to him is his whole world. He grows through her in all his being's powers. He reads by her God's hidden aim in things, or a courtier in her countless retinue, content to be with her and feel her near. He makes the most of the little that she gives, and all she does drapes him with his own delight. A glance can make his whole day wonderful. A word from her lips with happiness wings the hours. He leans on her for all he does and is. He builds on her largesse his proud, fortunate days, and trails his peacock-plumed joy of life, and suns in the glory of her passing smile. In a thousand ways he serves her royal needs. He makes the hours pivot around her will, makes all reflect her whims. All is their play. This whole wide world is only he and she. His soul silent supports the world and her. His acts are her commandments registers. Happy, inert, he lies beneath her feet. His breast he offers for her cosmic dance, of which our lives are the quivering theater, and none could bear but for his strength within, yet none would leave because of his delight. His works, his thoughts have been devised by her. His being is a mirror vast of hers. Active, inspired by her, he speaks and moves. His deeds obey her heart's unspoken demands. Passive, he bears the impacts of the world, as if her touch is shaping his soul and life. His journey through the days in her sun march, he runs upon her roads. Hers is his course. His consciousness is a babe upon her knees. Her endless space is the playground of his thoughts. His being a field of her vast experiment. She binds to knowledge of the shapes of time, and the creative error of limiting mind, and chance that wears the rigid face of fate, and her sport of death and pain and nescience. His changed and struggling immortality. His soul is a subtle atom in a mass, his substance a material for her works. His spirit survives amid the death of things. He climbs to eternity through being's gaps. He is carried by her from night to deathless light. He takes up her powers. He has harnessed her to the yoke of her own law. His face of human thought puts on a crown. Held in her leash, bound to her veiled caprice, he studies her ways, if so he may prevail, even for an hour, and she works out his will. He makes of her his moment passion's serf. To obey, she feigns. She follows her creature's lead. For him she was made, lives only for his use. But conquering her, then is he most her slave. He is her dependent, All his means are hers. Nothing without her he can. She rules him still. At last he wakes to a memory of self. He sees within the face of deity. The godhood breaks out through the human mold. Her highest heights she unmasks and is his mate. Obedient to world nature's dumb control, driven by his own formidable power, his chosen partner in a titan game, her will he has made the master of his fate, her whim the dispenser of his pleasure and pain. He has sold himself into her regal power for any blow or boon that she may choose. On his heart he bears the happiness of her tread and the surprise of her arrival's joy. In each event and every moment's chance, all she can do is marvelous in his sight. He revels in her, a swimmer in her sea, a tireless amateur of her world delight. He rejoices in her every thought and act, and gives consent to all that she can wish. Whatever she desires, he wills to be. The Spirit, the innumerable one, he has left behind his lone eternity. He is an endless birth in endless time, our finite multitude in an infinite space. The master of existence lurks in us and plays at hide and seek with his own force. In nature's instrument loiters secret God. The immanent lives in man as in his house. He has made the universe his pastime's field, a vast gymnasium of his works of might. All-knowing, he accepts our darkened state, divine, wear shapes of animal or man. Eternal, he assents to fate and time. Immortal, dallies with mortality. The all-conscious ventured into ignorance. The all-blissful bore to be insensible. Incarnate in a world of strife and pain, he puts on joy and sorrow like a robe, and drinks experience like a strengthening wine. He whose transcendence rules the pregnant vast, prescient now dwells in our subliminal depths, a luminous individual power alone. The absolute, the perfect, the alone, has called out of the silence his mute force, where she lay in the featureless and formless hush, guarding from time by her immobile sleep the ineffable puissance of his solitude. The absolute, the perfect, the alone, has entered with his silence into space. He has fashioned these countless persons of oneself. He lives in all who lived in his vast alone. Space is himself, and time is only he, the absolute, the perfect, the immune, one who is in us as our secret self. Our mask of imperfection has assumed. He has made this tenement of flesh his own, his image in the human measure cast, that to his divine measure we might rise. Then in the figure of divinity, the Maker shall recast us and impose a plan of Godhead on the mortal's mold, lifting our finite minds to his infinite, touching the moment with eternity. This transfiguration is earth's due to heaven. A mutual debt binds man to the supreme. His nature we must put on as he put ours. We are sons of God and must be even as he. His human portion, we must grow divine. Our life is a paradox with God for key. For the key is hid and by the inconscient kept. The secret God beneath the threshold dwells, in a body obscuring the immortal spirit, a nameless resident vesting unseen powers, with matter, shapes, and motives beyond thought, and the hazard of an unguessed consequence, an omnipotent, indiscernible influence. He sits unfelt by the form in which he lives, and veils his knowledge by the groping mind. A wanderer in the world his thoughts have made, he turns in a chiaroscuro of error and truth, to find a wisdom that on high is his. As one forgetting, he searches for himself, as if he had lost an inner light he seeks. As a sojourner lingering amid alien scenes, he journeys to a home he knows no more. His own self's truth he seeks, who is the truth. He is the player who becomes the play. He is the thinker who became the thought. He is the many who was the silent one. In the symbol figures of the cosmic force, and in her living and inanimate signs, and in her complex tracery of events, he explores the ceaseless miracle of himself, till the thousandfold enigma has been solved in the single light of an all-witnessing soul. Two seem his ghosts, yet ever are they one, and gaze at each other over bornless time. Spirit and matter are their end and source. A seeker of hidden meanings in life's forms, of the great mother's wide, uncharted will, and the rude enigma of her terrestrial ways, he is the explorer and the mariner, and the secret inner ocean without born. He is the adventurer and cosmologist of a magic earth's obscure geography. In our material order's fixed design, where all seems sure, and even when changed, the same, even though the end is left forever unknown, and ever unstable is life's shifting flow, his paths are found for him by silent faith, as stations in the ages' weltering flood. Firm lands appear that tempt and stay a while. Then new horizons lure the mind's advance. There comes no close to the finite's boundlessness. There is no last certitude in which thought can pause, and no terminus of the soul's experience. A limit, a farness never wholly reached, an unattained perfection calls to him from distant boundaries in the unseen. A long beginning only has been made. This is the sailor on the flow of time. This is world matter's slow discoverer, who, launched into this small corporeal birth, has learnt his craft in tiny bays of self, but dares at last unplumbed infinitudes, a voyager upon eternity's seas. In his world adventure's crude initial start, behold him ignorant of his Godhead's force, timid initiate of its vast design. An expert captain of a fragile craft, a trafficker in small, impermanent wares. At first he hugs the shore and shuns the breadth, dares not to affront the far-off perilous main. He in a petty coastal traffic plies, his pay doled out from port to neighbor port, content with his safe round's unchanging course. The hazard's not the new and the unseen. But now he hears the sound of larger sea. A widened world calls him to distant scenes and journeyings in a larger vision's arc, and peoples unknown and still unvisited shores. On a commissioned keel, his merchant hull serves the world's commerce in the riches of time, severing the foam of a great landlocked sea to reach unknown harbor lights in distant climes, and open markets for life's opulent arts, rich bales, carved statuettes, hued canvases, and jeweled toys brought for an infant's play, and perishable products of hard toil, and transient splendors won and lost by the days. Or passing through a gate of pillar rocks, venturing not yet to cross the oceans unnamed and journey into a dream of distances, he travels close to unfamiliar coasts and finds new haven in storm-troubled isles. Or, guided by a sure compass in his thought, he plunges through a bright haze that hides the stars, steering on the trade routes of ignorance. His prow pushes towards undiscovered shores. He chances on unimagined continents. A seeker of the islands of the blessed, he leaves the last lands, crosses the ultimate seas. He turns to eternal things, his symbol quest. Life changes for him its time-constructed scenes, its images veiling infinity. Earth's borders recede and the terrestrial air hangs round him no longer its translucent veil. He has crossed the limit of mortal thought and hope. He has reached the world's end and stares beyond. The eyes of mortal body plunge their gaze into eyes that look upon eternity. A greater world time's traveler must explore. At last he hears a chanting on the heights, and the far speaks, and the unknown grows near. He crosses the boundaries of the unseen and passes over the edge of mortal sight to a new vision of himself and things. He is a spirit in an unfinished world that knows him not and cannot know itself. The surface symbol of his goalless quest takes deeper meanings to his inner view. He is a search of darkness for the light, of mortal light for immortality. In the vessel of an earthly embodiment, over the narrow rails of limiting sense, he looks out on the magic waves of time, where mind like a moon illumines the world's dark. There is limbed ever retreating from the eyes, as if in a tenuous, misty, dreamlike drawn, the outline of a dim, mysterious shore. A sailor on the inconscient's fathomless sea, he voyages through a starry world of thought on matter's deck to a spiritual sun. Across the noise and multitudinous cry, across the rapt, unknowable silences, through a strange mid-world under supernal skies, beyond Earth's longitudes and latitudes, his goal is fixed outside all present maps. But none learns whither through the unknown he sails, or what secret mission the Great Mother gave. in the hidden strength of her omnipotent will, driven by her breath across life's tossing deep, through the thunder's roar and through the windless hush, through fog and mist where nothing more is seen, he carries her sealed orders in his breast. Late will he know, opening the mystic script, whether to a blank court in the unseen he goes, or armed with her, Fiat, to discover a new mind and body in the city of God, and enshrine the immortal in his glory's house, and make the finite one with infinity. Across the salt waste of the endless years, our ocean winds impel his errant boat, the cosmic water splashing as he goes, a rumor around him, and a danger and a call. Always he follows in her forces' wake. He sails through life and death and other life. He travels on through waking and through sleep. A power is on him from her occult force that ties him to his own creation's fate. And never can the mighty traveler rest, and never can the mystic void cease, till the nascent dusk is lifted from man's soul, and the morns of God have overtaken his night. As long as nature lasts, he too is there, for this is sure, that he and she are one. Even when he sleeps, he keeps her on his breast. Whoever leaves her, he will not depart to repose without her in the unknowable. There is a truth to know, a work to do. Her play is real, a mystery he fulfills. There is a plan in the mother's deep world whim, a purpose in her vast and random game. This ever she meant since the first dawn of light, this constant will she covered with her spark, to evoke a person in the impersonal void, with the truth light strike earth's massive roots of trance, wake a dumb self in the inconscient depths, and raise a lost power from its python sleep, that the eyes of the timeless might look out from time, and the world manifest the unveiled divine. For this he left his white infinity, and laid on the spirit the burden of the flesh, that Godhead's seed might flower in mindless space. End of Canto 4, Book 1.